Good to see everyone here tonight. Certainly glad to see all of those who are watching online that you are joining us tonight. We are certainly believing that you will receive right where you are what God has for you, just as these people have come here tonight to receive what God has for them. So glad that you are here with us tonight. So tonight, you know, we... certainly an honor to be speaking to a Wednesday night crowd, and certainly glad that honored to have that opportunity. And so, John chapter 13. I know this, that most people want to be successful. Most people even have this idea that God, especially the ones that are listening here tonight and online, we're pretty well convinced that God wants us to be successful in whatever it is that God has for us. And so we know that. And so here's the observation that I see, and that is this, that many want to be successful, but there are many that are not there, or at least they don't feel like they're there. And so here's the issue that I find with myself and in looking at people in general, and that is this, that that true success is rooted in the realm of the spirit rather than in this world, meaning this, there has to be something coming from God in order for us to be successful the way God planned us to be. And so not just successful in making lots of money, but successful in life. Whatever it might be. Success might mean this, that you finally get the victory over a bad attitude. That could be success for some people. Do you know what I'm saying? Or victory over a bad habit that just hindered them. People have all kinds of things that they deal with in their personal life. And so as we look at this tonight, I'm not so much talking about, positioning ourselves to make, to be a wildly successful business person or something of that nature. I want us to be share something that will help us to be very successful as a Christian. As a Christian, as a born-again believer, Jesus said this in John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. He said this, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have loved one for another." Now, when I said... When I read this and started with a new commandment, we as Americans tend to tune out that. We don't like commandments. We're the home of the brave, land of the free, land. You know what I'm saying? We're free. If we don't like it it's at one place, the way it is at one place, we go to another place. And so when the word commandment comes, we kind of tend to, as Americans, kind of, wait a minute, who are you to tell us what to do? We're kind of natured like that. So I'm not saying it's all bad, but you have to understand that there doesn't matter how free we are, there are still rules to follow. And we are free because we have rules that we follow. There are rules. In following rules, there is freedom that can be had. And so I remember back in the charismatic renewal, we wore it on our sleeve. We wore it as a badge. We're free. We don't have to do any of that stuff that they do in the denominational churches. We were so free that we were in bondage to our freedom. what I'm saying. And so, but Jesus said here, he said, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you." And Jesus is speaking this while everyone that's listening is still under the old covenant, under which they had 613 commandments. And he unloads a new one on them. He said, I'm going to tell you a commandment. I'm going to give you a commandment. You think the 613 was enough? No, I'm telling you, that's not going to cut it. Listen, this 614th one. And he unloaded it on him. He said, I command you to love as I have loved. You love others. I'm sure the disciples had flashbacks immediately. Peter, remembering some of the things he said. James and John recalling that they had, you know, suggested calling fire down from heaven to burn up, on a village. And Jesus said, you don't even know what spirit you're of. You know, I'm sure they had flashbacks. Well, now listen, truthfully, under the old covenant, the greatest commandment was to love, here's what Jesus said in Matthew. He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That is the first and great commandment. So it's really not totally new what Jesus is saying, but he does add a spin to it. And he said this, the second commandment, it goes on and says, the second commandment is this, that you love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. In other words, if you would just do these two things, the rest would fall into place. So but Jesus in saying in John 13:34 gives a new spin to it. He didn't say to love God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. He said to love as I have loved. And so here's the thing. The question then is, how did Jesus love? Because he certainly walked in love all the time, no matter what he did. No matter what happened to him, no matter what they did to him, he always walked in love. Now, some people, you know, think that walking in love is to be some kind of meek little person that, they kind of equate meek with weak. You know what I'm saying? That kind of person that just lets others take advantage of them. You know, others can just have their way. I'm just walking in love. If somebody wants to walk straight towards them, I love you enough, I'm going to get out of the way. I'll just get out of the way. Do you know what I'm saying? Or you have something in your cart, and a shopping cart, and somebody reaches in there and just gets it. Well, you got your back turned. Oh, I'm just going to walk in love. You know, somebody wants to go out in front of you in the traffic. Oh, okay. I'm just walking in love. Well, but to listen to me, we're going to. I hope we can get there tonight. That we want to look a little bit at what it looks like to love as Jesus loved, because it certainly means something more than what I just described. It means something more, and so it is. Now Jesus tells him to love as he has loved. It means to follow his example, to do what he did. In other words, to love on the same level or display the same kind of love that he did. In other words, to have the same kind of love that he got from the Father. Because we know that the Father loved the Son, and the Bible also tells us that he loves us. And so, now here's this. I'm sure that the disciples looked at Jesus when he said that and said, that's impossible. We can't do that. And you know, in one sense, they're right. Humanly impossible without some kind of help from God. But here's the truth. Here's the truth of the matter. It is this, and that is this. Jesus didn't tell us to walk in love in our own efforts. He told us to love as he loved, because he knew this, that in the new covenant, we have the same love deposited inside of us that Jesus has. Romans 5:5 tells us that the love of God, the love that's from God, the same love that was in Jesus, is the same love that's deposited inside of you when you were born again. Now, let me give you this. You also have the same spirit living inside of you that Jesus did that helped him walk in love, and he helped you walk in love. You got the same love. You got the same spirit. And I might add, you got the same Heavenly Father who gives to both freely. I'm going to say this. Jesus did not try to put the disciples under bondage and put a law on them, saying, now you got to live under the law. I know I'm getting ready to do a new thing, but you're still under the law. Jesus, that's not what Jesus is saying. He's actually, listen to this, he's actually introducing them to a new lifestyle, a new way of living. Listen, all the command in any nation, the laws of a nation often determine how the people live and what kind of lifestyle they have. In Israel, they had 613 commandments under the Old Covenant. Among them, the commandment to love God only and not any other gods. That was one of the commands. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 and 5. It's directly a command to love God only and not be like the other nations where it was so popular to not only love one God, but many gods. In other words, they're to be monotheistic in their love for God, only one God that they're to love, and not be polytheistic. In other words, meaning we love many gods. In other words, oh, you got a God? I'll take that one too. And so by giving a new commandment, here's what Jesus did. He introduced them to a new lifestyle. Opened up some possibilities. Here's something that happens. When God's love comes into your life, there's a new nature that comes inside of you. When you become born again, that's when the love of God flows inside of you, is deposited inside of you. There's a new nature inside of you, the nature to love. In other words, here's the idea then, the same nature of God, that God has is also deposited in us. And so here's the thing. God is love. The Bible says that God is love. In other words, here's the thing. In other words, there is a love God that has made a love child. In other words, we are a love creation of a loving God. It is normal, natural, and natural for us to love. It is unnatural. It is abnormal for us to hate people as Christians and to be mean. It really is, although it happens. We'll talk a little bit about that. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, it says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. In other words, he has given his love. He's deposited his love on us in that we should be called children of God. We're his children. And it says, therefore, the world does not know us because it does not know him. Beloved, now. Everybody say now. We're not talking about something that's going to happen. We're talking about something that's already happened. In other words, this is what you are as a Christian. Whether you're a young Christian, old Christian, older in the faith, you know, kind of thing, or whether you've had a really good day, or whether you've had a day that you're not going to talk about. Here's the truth. Now, we are children of God. I'm a child of God. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But he goes on and says, we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. In other words, that phrase, we shall be like him. I always wonder, now what in the world does he mean by that? Does that mean he's going to come back for me when I finally get perfect? When I get everything right, when all my steps are ordered of the Lord, how many of you desire for all your steps to be ordered of the Lord? But we're all working on that one, aren't we? No, what does it mean? It means this then. We know this, that the same, we have the same nature as he does. When he comes back, we will be like him. We are like him in nature. We are a love child of a love God. A loving Jesus is coming back for us, and we love him in return. God is love, and so we shall be like Jesus when he comes. Now, here's another thing. When we know this, that the love of God is inside of us, it gives us a new perspective about God and about others, even ourselves. Listen to me. Listen to this. Listen to this. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. We have known and believed the love that God has for us. That changes everything, my friend. Listen to me. Many people, are determining whether the God loves them or not by the behavior that they have exhibited that day. Bad day, God doesn't love me. Good day, God loves me a lot. But the truth of the matter is, God does not change his love based on your behavior. Now, there are a lot of things that more of things that go into the Christian life than just what I'm talking about. But let me say this to you, that the love of God for you is constant. He loves you enough to remind you that's not the way we do it. Or how many times, I can't tell you how many times that I didn't get it right. And I knew that God had every right to just really read me the riot act. How many of you ever been there? Well, don't have to vote. It's not November. Okay. But how many times has God, I heard the quiet whisper of God. He wasn't excusing what I did. What he did was draw me closer to him. I heard the whisper. He said, son, I love you. I didn't deserve it, but he loved me anyway. He didn't change it. And it stirred up a greater desire to walk with him. I remember years ago, my dad's 92 years old, very healthy. And we're very close and everything. But there were years that we weren't close at all. There were years we didn't even hardly speak. And growing up, we didn't get along. I had ideas that he didn't feel like it fit within the framework of the religion that we grew up in. And he honestly told me much later, he didn't know what to do. My parents said, we didn't know what to do with you. My mom said, you're always different than the rest of them. I don't know if that's a compliment or not, but anyway. As a result of early on when I was a kid, my dad and I didn't get along. Dad had his own set of problems. Dad had his ideas based upon the rules of the church we were attending and all of that. And I didn't see most of those things as necessary. How many of you can see that? Well, consequently, the heavy hand of discipline was applied often. There was one time, and I won't ever forget this. There was one time that my dad looked at me and treated me with the respect and love that a father has for his child. He loved me, no doubt about it. But this time I could tell it. And he asked me if I would just do this. And at that point, I would have done anything for him. Because he loved me. Showed his love to me. That's the way God is. He doesn't want us to do just anything. He's told us what to do. And so we need to look at this a little bit. And so God, listen, God loves us. We need to believe the love that God has for us. We may not deserve it, but as one person put it, he made the deal. Isn't that right? God spared no expense in pouring out his love on us. No price was too high for God to pay to show his love. As a matter of fact, the amount of God's love that he has bestowed and shown to us and given to us and deposited within us is totally extravagant. It's without reason. It's beyond reason. It's far beyond. In other words, he did not give you the minimum. He said, I think he can get by with that. I think this might last you the rest of your life. It'll be close, but I think you can make it if you don't use too much of it every day. Truth of the matter is, listen to me, God poured out his love extravagantly over on you. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18 and 19 says it gives us this idea that the human comprehension, the love of God is beyond human comprehension. In other words, the depth and the height and the length and the width of the love of God is so far beyond human comprehension. We can't fully grasp it, but we can enjoy the love of God as much as possible, as much as we believe. He loves you. Now, you knew that, and I know that. Easy to believe that in church. What about at the four-way stop when somebody jumps ahead of you and you didn't show the love of God to them? You expressed your opinion about them in some way. And afterwards, you know, you know what I'm saying? And so here's the thing. God's perspective of all people, whether they're good, bad, or ugly, whether they've been good or whether they've been doing bad, is that they're worth loving. Growing up, I had no clue that God loved me. None. I didn't. Matter of fact, if I grew up today, I would have initials after my name. Not to show how much I was educated, but the condition I had. I'm sure that I would have at least had, initials that indicated that I was hyperactive, over the top. And my curiosity level was off the charts. I read almost every book in the school library. And so consequently, there was a lot of things that I did. I was always doing something. I didn't mean to be bad. I didn't mean to break rules. But there were a lot of times that my dad had to explain to me that that's not the way to do it, what he expected. And somewhere along the line, I got this picture that God was not real happy with me. I didn't know that God loved me. I didn't know that God even knew I existed. I was pretty sure that he kind of had a clue. But here's the deal. Here's where I was at. I thought maybe, you know, God is busy ruling the universe, you know, doing all those things. And I'm just going to stay far away from him and hope he doesn't notice me, because I'm sure if he ever notices me, he's going to find something wrong with me and he's going to get me. That was my picture of God. It was after I started going to spirit-filled events and church that I found out that God loves me on a personal level. Not just in theory, not just in mass as, you know, well, he loves the human race, you know, kind of thing. But if there would be nobody else, he would still love me. He would still love me. He would still pay the price for my salvation. And so, here's the deal. Knowing this, here's the deal. When we believe the love that God has for us, it frees us up to love others. Because here's the deal. I don't love others with my own love. I love them with the love that He gave me. I might not be able to love you. I might come quickly to the end of the love, my own human love. And I'm ready to do something else. But listen to me. The love of God. Paul said this. Paul was a pretty straight man. He was a guy that didn't put up with a lot of things. But he said this. He said, the love of God constrains me. It ruled him. It controlled him and didn't allow him to do certain things. Listen to me. We need to learn to let the love of God rule our lives, to determine what it is that God has for us. Here's the third thing. We said that he gives us a new nature. He gives us a new perspective. The love of God gives us a new lifestyle, a new way of living. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8 describes the love of God. In other words, here's the thing. Love is not some mystical thing, some mysterious, nebulous thing out there that we're trying to get a grasp on, and we kind of know a little bit about it or not. You know, no, listen to me. The love of God is described accurately in the Word of God. Look at it, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 through 8. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Been a lot of times when I had to turn to these scriptures right here because I'm having a tough time with what somebody did. And I usually, well, about all it takes is love suffers long and is kind, and I'm, oh. Here's the message. Listen to me. If this is true, that the love of God, that this is a description of the love of God, it would be a description of how God responds to you. It is also describes the way that God wants us to respond to others. How many of you believe that God is well able to respond to us that way? Now, I'll be honest with you. I'm setting you up. Because here's the thing, if God is able to respond that way to you by giving you that love, and because you have that same love, listen to me, you have the ability within you to love and to respond to others as the way it's described right here. You have that ability. It's within reach for you. Somebody says, well, I can't love so and so because of what they did. I agree. In your human efforts, probably not. But because you have the love of God deposited inside of you, the same love that He loved you with, listen to me, take the love He's given you and give it to them. I can tell you, listen to me, it's not so much how good I am as it is how much He loves me and how He wants me to act because He's given me His love. His love, God desires for His love to constrain us, control our lives. I had to learn to walk in love when others were mean to me. I can tell you, there's been times when I... When it was painful. Anybody ever been through the painful times when people went out of their way to do things against you? I remember one particular tough time. Several people went out of their way. They wanted what I had. They were not content with with just seeing me go away. They wanted to make sure that they able to follow me wherever I went and put in a bad word wherever I went. They wanted me out, annihilated, happy if I'd be off the face of the earth kind of thing. And you know, that does raise some thoughts in your mind. How many of your mind works? Some of, yeah. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Listen to me. My mind works very well. Somebody does something to me, thoughts come. David was that way. How many times in the Psalms did he say, God, here's my prayer. Kill him. And I got a few ideas on how you can do it. Grind him as dust. Stomp on him. Grind your heel on him until there's nothing left. Thoughts come, but they don't have to stay. And it does, and you know, listen to me, a thought like that, unacted on, remains unfruitful. Listen to me. But in the, but listen to me. The thing that God wants us to get a hold of is this, that when things happen, and they will, listen to me, God wants us to tap into the love that's in our heart for them. I can remember being upset because one particular guy did some things to my family that were really wrong. And one day my path crossed with him, and I had determined when I get to him, I'm going to let him have it. And you know what I did? When our path crossed, I let him have it. I let him have, because I opened my mouth to say what I wanted to say, and out of my heart, up out of my heart, came the love of God, and the compassion of God rose up in me, and I thought, you miserable person, I'm so sorry for you. I feel bad for you. And I couldn't say anything other than I just loved him a little bit. That's my point, friend. You're able to love somebody. You're able to love the mean person. You're able to love the person that persecutes you. You're able to love the one that despitefully uses you. The love is in there. He can do it. He's given it to you. You can do it. Look at your neighbor and tell him, you can do it. Stand to your feet, if you would, please. If you're struggling right now, if you're struggling right now with something somebody has done, I want you to just lift your hands up to the Lord right now and just give it to him right now. And then just thank him that the love of God has been shed abroad, poured into you, and that love, just make this commitment. Father, I love them with the love that you gave me. I don't necessarily love them on my own, but I love them with the love that you gave me. Thank you, Father, for your love. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you for helping me to be a love child of a love person. And we give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 God is faithful to do what he said in his word. Amen. How many of you know that the Lord is helping you? He is helping us, isn't he? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, listen to me. I hope you got something tonight out of that. But listen to me. Sunday morning, pastor's going to be here. I was as disappointed as you that he wasn't here tonight. I can tell you that. But listen to me, because I always love to hear pastor. But here's the thing. Right now, these guys over here are ready to pray with any guy that in the building that needs prayer. The ladies over here ready to pray with any lady that needs prayer. And so if you have a prayer need of any kind, please come forward after we've dismissed and come, or you can come right now if you'd like. And so they want to minister to you, and that's what they're there for. Praise the Lord. First-time guests, Connection Team, go find those first-time guests, if you would, and take them to get that gift out in the West Lobby. And that's a wonderful gift. It's our way of saying thank you. And again, if you don't have a church home, please consider this your church home. Certainly welcome in this place. Shake hands with somebody and tell them, I love you with the love of the Lord, and you're dismissed.